All right. Well, it's a pleasure to be back here again with you this evening to share with you this last lesson. As Darlene has said, this last lesson kind of wraps up everything that you have taken all year and bundles it up and then sends you off to live out what it is that you are called to live as disciples of Christ. And so we've combined then the two themes of holiness and evangelization together this evening because they fit so well. And you will see how one leads into the other and the other builds on to the first as we go through the topics this evening. So first I will I decided actually not to use a PowerPoint this evening because I didn't think it was going to add anything. And so I will keep it a little bit more simple that way. So starting with holiness. Does anybody know what the word holiness means? What are some ways to define holiness? Sorry?
Sacred.
Sacred, okay. Yes, ma'am.
Set apart.
Set apart, absolutely. That's actually about it. There's not a whole lot more to get into that. Holiness is... Pardon?
Smart.
Smart, yeah. Holiness is taken from an old Germanic word relating to the state of being holy, of being consecrated to God. And so there's that sense of being set apart, being made sacred for God. And in English, we also have another word called sanctity that means the same thing, just it's taken from Latin instead of the Germanic. This is what we're speaking of when we mean holiness. This whole notion of being set apart, made sacred for God, by God. And that's the life that we are called to live as people who are baptized. This life of holiness. But as you will come to know, there are two degrees of holiness, two ways in which we apply that word. The first one is that whole notion of being consecrated to God, which is what we have received through our baptism. Just going to pull out a section from the catechism here. So the catechism says here, baptism not only purifies from all sin, but also makes the neophyte a new creature, an adopted child of God who has become a partaker of the divine nature, a member of Christ and co-heir with Him, a temple of the Holy Spirit. This is the mystery, the gift which has been given to you at baptism, that you have been made a partaker of the divine nature. And this is what consecrates you. You are sacred because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and have entered into the life of the Holy Trinity. Even though you're still living here on earth, you are linked sacramentally to heaven. And so that first dimension of holiness is rooted in this sacrament of baptism, whereby as disciples of Christ, we are called to live as best as we can now the life which we will receive fully in heaven. We are called to be holy because that is what we are through our baptism. And we come to see that St. Paul speaks about this throughout his letters. And so does John as well. They speak of the holy ones. Christians are known as the holy ones. In other places, Paul will call us the saints, with a small s. All of us who are baptized are saints, are holy ones, and we are called to live in that manner. And again, the catechism says elsewhere, it says, incorporated into Christ by baptism, the person being baptized is configured to Christ. And so not only have we entered into the divine Trinity, but we are also joined to Christ in a particular way that transforms us to be more like Him. If you remember in the creation accounts that we spoke of over the year, you know, it speaks to us that Adam and Eve were made in the image and likeness of God. Sin destroyed that image and likeness in us, or at least broke it down a little bit. And Christ came to restore that. But not only just restore it, but even fill it more. And so we speak of in baptism as being recreated into the image and likeness of Christ. This is all included in what we mean when we say that as members of the church, we are members of the body of Christ. We belong to Him. Not to ourselves, but to Him. And so we are called to live as Christ would, as Christ lives. To imitate Him. To become what we are. His body. So this, again, is what we are talking about in this sense of holiness. And that's why holiness is for all of us. It's not merely for those who have been canonized or for exceptional people. It is for all of us. And all of us who have been baptized are expected to act as Christ, to live as Christ, to become Christ. This is our mission, and even, dare I say, our duty as Christians, to allow ourselves to be transformed, to become Christ. And then we will see that we do that as well as an act of mission for the world. So again, in the Catechism it says, this baptismal seal that we have received enables and commits Christians to serve God. First, by a vital participation in the Holy Liturgy, and to exercise their baptismal priesthood by the witness of holy lives and practical charity. So we come to see then that living a life of holiness is not just about me. It's not individual. But it's allowing the grace of God to penetrate us, to transform us, to lead us out. So again, we will come into that again in the second part on evangelization. But holiness then, in being transformed to become more like Christ, can be simply rendered as being made perfect in charity. Being made perfect in love. This is what we're called to allow God's grace to do in us throughout our lives. You know, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We receive this gift of the transformation through baptism. But it's not magic. It's not magic. It takes time for it to unfold fully. Just like a flower that begins with a bud and slowly grows and blooms into its fullness. That is what we are called to allow God's grace to do in our lives. To unfold the gifts of the Spirit. To unfold the gifts of His grace. Transforming us. Always growing. Stronger. Deeper. Closer to Christ in that way. This is why again St. Paul calls us the beloved who are called to be holy. Because we are the holy assembly of God. By baptism we have been chosen by God to be His representatives, to be His presence among the nations. And we are called to make our lives conform to that gift that we have received in our baptism. And again, this is for everyone. In the documents of the Vatican Council, in the document especially given to about the Church, it speaks that all the faithful, whatever their condition or state, are called by the Lord, each in their own way, to that perfect holiness whereby the Father Himself is perfect. You see elsewhere in Scripture, Christ says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. In the Old Testament even, be holy as I am holy. And Peter will remind us in his letter that that's not just an Old Testament saying, but it is Christ saying that to us. Because Christ is holy, and because we are part, we are members of Christ, we too then are called to be holy. to be perfect in charity in that way. Again, Lumen Gentium, the document on the church, tells us, therefore in the church, everyone, whether belonging to the hierarchy or being called or being cared for by it, is called to holiness according to the saying of the apostle, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. However, this holiness of the church is unceasingly manifested and must be manifested in the fruits of grace which the Spirit produces in the faithful. It is expressed in many ways in individuals who in their walk of life tend toward the perfection of charity, thus causing the edification of others. Those who have been canonized by the church have been canonized so that they might become examples to us that holiness is not merely an ideal, but holiness is real and it's achievable. All of us can become saints in that same way, according to the way that God has called us. Some He calls to this grandeur to edify others and to be a model and to call others forth, like Mother Teresa, like Padre Pio, like all the great saints that we've canonized. Others are called to be holy and saints in their simplicity of life, by being faithful to the little things that God has given them, to persevere through the challenges that God has given them. And I know that each one of you know people like that in your own lives. And they may never be canonized, but that does not make them any less holy, any less saintly than those who have been. And each one of us, because God has called us and because He gives us the grace to do so, are called to be just like that, regardless of whether we're canonized or not, but to live according to that gift that He's given us, allowing ourselves to be transformed. And this perfect charity is explained in a particular way in the Gospel and the liturgy for Holy Thursday. We have that whole ceremony of the washing of the feet, where Jesus says, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So also you should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Again, this perfection of charity, allowing love to be perfected in us, so that no longer do people see us, but they encounter Christ in us. That the way we live our lives, the way we act, the words that we speak, bring Christ to others. And this is why holiness and evangelization fit perfectly together. Because to be holy is necessarily to evangelize. And evangelization requires holiness. This is what we are called to do. This is the glory to which we are called as disciples. And God does this, again, from our baptism, but He does that. That's important to remember. That, as I will talk later, holiness requires our work, but it does not depend on our work. It depends on God, on His grace, and on His call to love. Again, I'm going to read a section from the Catechism here. The Catechism actually has the whole section on Christian holiness. It's not a huge section, but it's very good, and it's to the point. And I want to read with you a little part of that, actually, the whole opening paragraph. Just hits it to the core. And it quotes a passage from Paul's letter to the Romans. We know that in everything God works for good with those who love Him. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And then it falls into that. All Christians in any state or walk of life are called to the fullness of Christian life and to the perfection of charity. All are called to holiness. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Again, this is the glory to which we have been called. And Christ has promised this to us. And we know that His promises are true because He is faithful and He is true to His word. And if He has promised that to us, then He will bring us there. But we must be open to it. Again, God's grace is not magical. And because it is a gift of love, it is not forced upon us. And if we are not open to holiness, we will certainly not grow in it. But we need to be open to that gift, to allow it to fill us, to transform us, and to help us to grow. Going back again to the documents of the Second Vatican Council, they do have a whole chapter on the call to holiness. I wanted to read a section from there again. Number 40. The Lord Jesus, divine teacher and model of all perfection, preached holiness of life, of which He is the author and maker, to each and every one of His disciples, without distinction. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. For He sent the Holy Spirit to all to move them interiorly to love God with all their heart, with their whole soul, with their whole understanding, and with their whole strength. The first commandment, right? The first commandment of love. And to love one another as Christ loved them. This dual commandment of loving God and loving neighbor. The followers of Christ, called by God not in virtue of their own works, but by His design and grace, and justified in the Lord Jesus, have been made sons and daughters of God in the baptism of faith, and partakers of the divine nature, and so are truly sanctified. They must therefore hold on and perfect in their lives that sanctification which they have received from God. They are told by the apostle to live as fitting among saints, and to put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience. To have the fruits of the Spirit for their sanctification. But since we all offend in many ways, we constantly need God's mercy and must pray every day, forgive us our debts. It is therefore quite clear that all Christians in any state or walk of life are called to the fullness of Christian life and to the perfection of love. And by this holiness, a more human manner of life is fostered also in earthly society. Again, this complete dependency on the grace of God. But a grace that is there waiting for us to say yes. A grace that takes advantage and fills us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you have received at baptism and confirmation. So all of those things that we talked about all year find their fulfillment in fully living out the Christian life. In allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us to become like Christ and to live a Christ life. And this is where everything else falls into that. The moral life is about living this life of holiness. That's why the church teaches what she does in terms of morality. Because that's what it means to live like Christ. And to live otherwise means we live in contradiction to Christ. Everything that the church teaches us is to help us to grow in that life. You know, a few weeks ago you had this whole notion of conversion as a lifelong process. So is sanctification. And the gifts that you have, your prayer life, your life in the Spirit, all of these things, living them out is living a life of holiness. So that means then, to recap a little bit, that to live a holy life means to live in conformity to Christ, to who He is and what He has done for us, and to represent that reality in our lives. And that means, first and foremost, that we need His grace, because it all depends on His grace. It is His grace that has called us. It is His grace that has blessed us with the sacraments, with new life. It is His grace that transforms us. But as I said, we need to be open to that grace. And we open ourselves to that grace, and we grow in it through prayer. Our prayer life is that gateway to holiness. Perhaps we can even go as far as saying as prayer is the narrow path. And part of that then is the sacraments. Of going to Mass every Sunday. And more if you can. Going to reconciliation on a regular basis. Because our sins are an obstacle to God's grace. And so if we are to take our journey of holiness seriously, then we need to take seriously the sacraments that God has given us to help us to grow in that perfection. To break down those obstacles. To further that grace. To heal our wounds that keep us repeating the same sins. To fill us with His love. And reconciliation and the Eucharist are the two most important sacraments for that. And so again, to take our life of faith seriously and to take that mandate of holiness seriously, we need to take advantage of those two sacraments on a regular basis. And though we spoke of the precepts of the Catholic Church a few weeks ago saying you had to go at least once a year for mortal sin, if you want to be holy, you need to go a lot more frequently than once a year. That's not going to sanctify you. Because I guarantee you, you're going to sin more than once a year. You know, Archbishop Collins used to talk about every 4 to 6 weeks if you want to take your faith seriously. And again, the Eucharist at least every Sunday. And if you're able to come during the week, all the better. To make ourselves present to that grace, to receive it, and to grow to become more and more that body of Christ that we receive. And so all of this then, we start to see that it takes work. We have to cooperate with the gifts of grace that we receive. We cannot just show up and receive the Eucharist, go to reconciliation, and then continue to live our lives, exposing ourselves to temptation and sin the way that we did before our conversion. That's self-defeating. If you want to grow as an athlete, you have to have a proper diet, and you have to work out. Otherwise, all the energy and effort you're putting into trying to become an athlete are made a mockery by the way that you eat and lay around. And it's the same thing with our spiritual life. This is why St. Paul spoke about fighting the good fight. Because this is what the journey of holiness is about. We have to fight for holiness. And that means we have to let things go. We have to shed ourselves of the bad habits that we have. And we have to build new good habits to grow in the virtues. So that God's grace then is allowed to unfold in our lives. A treasure that we have received at baptism is allowed to grow and bloom as we journey in our life of faith. Because baptism is not the summit of your journey of faith. To be honest, it's the beginning. You've just walked into the door, into the gates, and now you have to continue to walk toward Christ. And that walk requires us to make those efforts. And those efforts, again, are prayer. Because sometimes we don't like to pray. Sometimes we find we're too busy to pray. And so it takes effort. We also work through service. In serving others. In charitable acts. In giving of ourselves to the parish community, to the larger society as a whole, to our neighbors. This whole dimension of washing feet, that is part of the work that we are called to do in our growth for holiness. Then there's the whole aspect of disciplining the self, of mortification, as we call it. Disciplining our desires so that we're not running around wherever our bodies tell us to go or wherever our distracted minds lead us. But to train ourselves physically so as to help our spiritual life. Again, part of the good fight. Of training ourselves as serious as athletes do for their sport, but for the life of faith, for the spiritual life. So then, when we put all of this together and cooperate with the grace that God gives us, then we start to make spiritual progress, rooted in prayer and in the exercise of virtues. Actually, there's one more point in work that I overlooked. Study. The spiritual life is not just about prayer. Spiritual life is about informing your mind so that your spirit may grow in the knowledge and love of God. This is a hugely important part. This is part of what we have been transmitting to you throughout the year in giving you these sessions, these talks, in informing your mind and your heart so that you may come to know and love God more. And that needs to continue once our CIA is done. It needs to continue throughout your whole life. Again, if you are to take your relationship with God seriously. Those of you who are dating or are married, you have come to know those that you are with by speaking with them, spending time with them, which in relationship to God we call prayer. You have also come to know them by speaking to their friends, their parents, their siblings. And that's what we do when we study. We come to learn from the other saints of the church, from the others who are learned in the faith, about who God is, and that helps us to grow. So I put out a few books here as examples of the type of study that helps us to grow. There's spiritual reading that helps us to go deeper into prayer, and there's the intellectual reading that helps us to have a better knowledge of God. Not that the two are apart from each other. They both need to be accompanied by prayer. And you will find that even theological and academic works will feed your prayer life as well as you grow. But be aware, there is a progression. Don't be jumping onto the heavy stuff right away. Allow yourself to grow. Otherwise, as St. Paul says, you know, he says, babies need to learn with milk. They start feeding with milk. And then in due time, they eat solid food. And it's the same thing in our spiritual life, in our journey of holiness. That if we try to eat solid food before we're ready, we cause more damage. We discourage ourselves because we can't understand it or we can't live up to it. Just again, like the athlete, if they start trying to bench 350 pounds the first day they show up at the gym, they're going to fail. But if they work their way out, our way up, 6 months to a year, they'll probably be able to do that. And again, it's the same thing for us. So start and build up as much as you can take in that way. Be patient with yourself. Because God has given us a lifetime to be holy. But a lifetime not so much that we can say, well, I'll put it off to tomorrow. Because who knows how long that lifetime will be. But He has given us a lifetime because He does not expect us to be holy by tomorrow. And we need to take advantage of that gift of His mercy to give us that time. And one of the good ways in helping us to grow in holiness then is to become familiar with the saints. With those who have achieved before our eyes that which we are seeking. So reading the lives of the saints, coming to know them. And not necessarily all of them. Pick a couple of them that call forth to you. A couple that you can identify with. And come to know them. Ask them to pray for you. And ask them to help you to understand Christ through their lives. And to come to know Him as they knew Him. And the saints then are really an important part of our journey that way. In helping us to grow in holiness. So then moving on then to the second part of tonight's talk on evangelization. I already gave you some tidbits that this whole notion of being given the gift of faith, this gift of Jesus and being called to live like Him in the world, is of itself, of its very nature, evangelization. Yes, ma'am.
Can you just remind us of what evangelization is?
Yes. Evangelization, in the very literal sense of the word, means to go out and proclaim the good news. Evangel is gospel. Euangelion, literally, good news. And that good news is Jesus Christ Himself. And that Jesus has saved you. He has forgiven you your sins. He has died on the cross for you. And He has been raised to new life and has shared that new life with you in baptism. What tremendous joy that should give us. As St. John Vianney would say, if we really knew what that meant for us, we would die of joy. And so then, living a life of holiness is living fully that joy that we have received from Christ. And if we live that joy, it authentically and as best as we are able to, that in itself is a proclamation of the good news of Christ. You know, we hear over and over in the history of the church how people came to know Christ through the saints that they encountered. Even in the New Testament, I was really trying to find the quote, but I know it speaks of it, how there is, you know, people would come to Christ because of their encounter with the apostles and disciples, saying, I want what they have. I want what they have. As St. Francis of Assisi tells us, says, always and everywhere proclaim the gospel and use words when necessary. But our life of holiness is the greatest gospel that we can proclaim. By bringing Christ to the world through us. And this is what it means to be baptized and to be partakers of the divine nature of Christ. Because He has also called us to share in His mission of proclaiming the good news and bringing the whole world to redemption. We are called to share the salvation that we have known with those who do not yet know. One of the ways that Jesus has taught us about this reality was through the parable of the pearl of great price. This is what He says in the Gospel of Matthew. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Related to our life of holiness, once we have encountered that great gift of God, we are called to focus our whole selves, our whole lives, on this gift. To abandon everything which is an obstacle to that gift. To embrace it wholeheartedly. And then to share that gift with others in that way. Again, Lumen Gentium says, the holy people of God share also in Christ's prophetic office. It spreads abroad a living witness to Him. A living witness, which is, in other words, holiness. especially by means of a life of faith and charity, and by offering to God a sacrifice of praise, the tribute of lips which give praise to His name. Our life of holiness, when it is done authentically and joyfully, very important, calls others to holiness. Again, we are called to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in the way we live our lives. And I'm sure that all of you in your own journey of faith can point to certain individuals who have been for you those examples. And you have said in your own hearts, I want what they have. I want to become like them. And the saints again call forth that joy to us. That love and compassion and mercy that they transmit to us in their eyes and in their hearts when they look at us. In the way that they give of themselves when they serve the poor. That calls forth in us this desire to be better. This desire to be like them. And that's a form of evangelization. And all of us are called to do that again. Some of you may be called to evangelize in other ways that are more verbal. By preaching, by teaching, by sharing the Word of God with your friends. But those are charisms that God will give you as you journey with Him in faith and as you grow in your perfection to His image. And at different times in your life, He will call you to evangelize in particular ways for the needs that are given, the needs that are present. But regardless of those particularities, we are all of us called to share that good news in the way that we live our lives. Precisely because God has saved us, has given His life for us, and we rejoice in that gift. And we want others to share in that gift. Those of you who were at the Mass I presided on the weekend and heard my homily, was it, I think, 2 weeks ago now, or last weekend, about love. To love is to desire the good for the other. And I talked about how holiness is this perfection of love in us. Then we ought to desire that everyone come to know the good that is Christ Jesus. That come to share in the good that is the salvation He has for them. That's why we heard in the Gospel at the beginning of this evening about going out to teach all nations about Christ to the ends of the earth. And this is what we are called to do as disciples. The saying that I like to say is that holiness breeds holiness. You know, when you study metaphysics or even biology and sciences, you come to realize that a certain being can only have offspring of the type of being that it is. A dog can't give birth to a cat. A human can't give birth to a chimpanzee. You can only have offspring of what you are. And when we allow God's grace to make us holy, we birth holiness in others. Our lives call forth in them this desire to be like Christ. And this, again, is a mission of all of us. A mission to holiness and a mission to proclaim this good news. Pope Benedict, in his message to World Youth Day this past Palm Sunday, said, "The Church's vocation is to bring joy to the world. A joy that is authentic and enduring. The joy proclaimed by the angels to the shepherds on the night that Jesus was born." This is the joy that we have in experiencing the salvation that has been given to us. And we ought to proclaim it in the way that the angels did. Glory to God in the highest. And we ought to seek after it with as much joy and eagerness as the shepherds did after hearing the message and going to see the Christ child. Benedict goes on, he says, and we respond to this vocation by giving our whole life to the Lord. Again, by allowing His grace to penetrate and to transform us. To go back to the gospel that we heard in the last couple of weeks, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. And so then, to be holy, to live out that holiness, to live out that evangelization rooted in our holiness, we must first be rooted in Christ. Again, through prayer and the sacraments. Because that is the source of our life. And we only have life, as this gospel says, insofar as we are rooted to the vine that is Christ. Otherwise, the branches that are dying out or drying out are cut off and they are burnt. And so we must remain rooted in Christ and every day re-root ourselves. You know, Darlene and I were speaking earlier today about all this stuff, and she's saying it's kind of like marriage. Marriage is not the wedding ceremony. The wedding ceremony is the beginning of marriage. Marriage is what you do every day after that day. It is that renewal of your vows that you make each morning when you wake up and you look at your spouse and you say, I choose you to be my wife. I choose you to be my husband. Even if they have bad breath, no makeup, messy hair, smelly feet. And so this is that commitment that is required to make a marriage last for a lifetime, that is required for our life of holiness. Every day we must get up and say, I choose God. I choose to receive and accept His love and to live according to that love, returning love for love, and sharing that love for others. That's why in the tradition of the church, we have always spoken of a morning offering. Of offering our day to Christ, inviting Him to dwell in us, to reveal Himself to us and through us, dedicating our lives to Him. And then our prayer life, on top of that, helps that grace to unfold. Because we are called to live Christ. It's not an issue of what would Jesus do. Because Jesus is not out there. Jesus is in here. And so it's what do I do because of Jesus? How am I called to live because of Jesus, and then called to share that love and that salvation with others. That's why at the end of Mass, the dismissal always sends you out. We have two of the typical ones we will hear is go announce the gospel of the Lord, or go in peace, glorify the Lord by your life. It's the one I tend to use the most. Partly because it's one of the ones that I've memorized, but also because I find that it's so powerful, which is why I memorized it. Go forth, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. Being a Christian, being a Catholic, is not about going to Mass on Sunday. It's about how Mass helps us to live the Eucharist that we receive. That's what it means to be Catholic. We don't live Catholic in the church, we live Catholic in the world. And what we experience and receive in the church building is to help us live that in the world. And in order to do that, we must at least come once a week. And we must pray every day, allowing God's grace to transform us, to strengthen us, to mold us, so that as St. Paul says, no longer do I live, but Christ lives in me. And we become imitators then of Mary, of bringing forth her Son to the world. One of the images that is often used for Mary and for the church, and through them for us, is the image of the moon. The moon has no light of its own. The moon only reflects the light of the sun. And we are called to be like the moon in that way. That the light that we give in the world, the light which is symbolized by our baptismal candle, is not the source of light. Or the light that we carry is not the source of light, but is the reflection of Him who is light. So that in seeing us, people don't see us personally in a certain sense, but they see Christ who lives in us. And through that, they too then are able to encounter Christ and become sharers of this divine gift that He has for them. Let us pray. Breathe in us, O Holy Spirit, that our thoughts may all be holy. Act in us, O Holy Spirit, that our work too may be holy. Draw our hearts, O Holy Spirit, that we love only what is holy. Strengthen us, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard us so, O Holy Spirit, that we may always be holy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.